Alright, go. Alright, from go. Irving, go! Irving, go! You don't kick me!
Team Pop 5 Classic Dialogue, you have been picked for request. Team Pop Hall of Fame UK, 0, Collapse Level 1, Axel, Level 2 Music, Mule, AC Man Level 1, Hangout. Join Channel Hangout, Hangout, 5, Hangout, Bootcamp, Join Channel Hangout, 6.
Keep going, buddy.
I don't
Who cares?
Who cares?
If he wanted to get rid of us, he would ban us. But he can't. If he wanted to get rid of us, he'd ban us. Keep on kicking me.
So are you.
Dude, if you wanted to get rid of us, Change your name to Mule and one will ban you. Do it.
I'm about to freaking torture this pig.
Shut up, money.
Wow. You shut up.
Is that the best do, boy?
Punk?
What happened, buddy? Love to take Sean, motherfucker.
You're fucking
love
Mexican.
To Sean. Love to take Sean.
Shut up, Mexican.
A man, this you must love to take.
I love Mexican whores.
You're screwed, Arab. You're my bitch now.
Especially Aaron's mother.
Let's see what happens if I do this.
Man, you guys are so shit.
You'll have to deal with this for the rest of the day.
You guys are so boring. You guys are so bad at trolling.
So are you.
Why are you so bad?
So are you, bitch. Bitch.
Aaron, you're so bad. Shut up, you Indian.
You shut up, bitch.
Shut up, bitch.
Respect your dad, sir. We'd like to find out if anyone bought red paint in the past few weeks. No one, Bert told him promptly. I'd remember, because I don't sell much of it. Why? While Frank described the boulder attack on Hank's cabin, he and Joe watched their listeners' faces. None showed any sign of guilt. The Hardys told about meeting Bentinker, and asked if anyone else had seen the blue light at the top of Cemetery Hill. Bert laughed. And thinkers always imagine things. One of the other men guffawed. A couple of weeks ago, he was seeing men from outer space. The Hardys did not believe this, but made no comment. They left the store and went back to their cabin. Here they found Hank Shayla and their father repairing the damaged wall. You'd better take it easy, Daddy, Joe said with concern. Oh, I haven't been exerting myself. Fenton Hardy grinned at his sons. I have to find some way to work off a little energy. While Hank fixed lunch, Frank and Chuck related what they had found out. Ben is an old man, Hank put in as he dished out a sizzling plate full of ham and eggs, but he's not loco. Still, the whole story, blue lights and all, might be just his imagination. That afternoon, the boys insisted that their father remain quiet while they helped Hank rebuild the cabin wall. By nightfall, the job was done. While they were relaxing in front of the fire after supper, Hank told the boys where they could rent horses to search for Big Al's hideout. I only have my mare Daisy.
Open team talk. Shut up.
Shut
your mouth.
Shut your mouth.
Your mom.
Your mom?
Your mom?
Someone got kicked out.
No, it's me.
No, it's me.
Turn off my hotspot.
Turn off my hotspot.
Can I just interrupt it?
Okay, money.
You are Mexican.
Get some of
that. And you are UKian.
You are UKian.
And you are UKian.
Money. Money.
Snugly built, and the animals seemed comfortable. Satisfied, Frank and Joe stopped back. As they went to the border of Hank's cabin, they stopped short. Look, breathe, Joe. Clearly visible on top of a cemetery hill was a winking blue light. Chapter 6. Ghost music. Let's go up there, urged Frank, grabbing Joe's arm. As quickly and quietly as possible, the boys scaled the hill and back of Hank's cabin. And hurried along the ridge trail toward the graveyard. When they reached the edge of the clearing, Frank and Joe paused in the shelter of the trees. The night was moonless, but the northern lights made great colored streaks across the sky. In a back corner of the cemetery, the brothers spotted a tall, thin figure. Probably the person who signaled with the blue light. Joe whispered. Crouching low, the young detectives crept through the broken fence. They moved forward soundlessly to a large stone monument and knelt behind it. The Hardys wished they could get closer to the man, but that gravestone was the only one large enough to afford them cover. The man paced about restlessly, stamping his feet and huddling his shoulders for warmth. Presently, the boys heard the sound of footsteps in the front of the cemetery. A second figure, big and bulky, approached the first. The newcomer's cap was pulled low, and his face appeared to be muffled for protection against the bitter cold. He took up a position with his back turned to the two brothers. As the thin man spoke, Frank and Joe strained their ears to hear above the roaring of the wind. They were able to catch only a part of the conversation. Big Al's plenty mad, the first man was saying. He gave me special orders for you tonight, Slipgun. The big man was silent, apparently waiting for the speaker to continue. He wants you to keep the Hardy boys bottled up in town, the thin man went on. Also, be sure to tip him off on every move they make. The other man's muffled response was drowned by the wind. Evidently he had asked a question. No luck yet, the tall figure declared. He better forget that special business. It's hopeless, meeting day after tomorrow, once, the usual stuff. Where? Shadow of the bear, answered the thin man. The next instant there came the loud crack of breaking twigs. Both men whirled toward the noise. The boys held their breath. Was somebody else in the graveyard? After a long silence, the thin man said, tomorrow Jake and I, with the boss, Brady's mine. It's one that ain't flooded. Frank's and Joe's hearts jumped with excitement, but the wind rose to a howl, and they could hear no more. The men murmured together for a few minutes, then parted. The thin man moved past the Hardy's hiding place. He slipped through the gap in the fence and quickly disappeared into the woods. Soon afterward, the boys heard a horse whinny and a brief clatter of hoofs on rocky ground. No chance of following him, Joe muttered. He might have led us to the gang's hideout, too. Just then the other man trudged by. The boys waited tensely until the bulky figure reached the gate. Joe, whispered Frank, we can't still find out who Big Al's man town is. Cautiously, the boys started toward the cemetery gate. They could hear the big man ahead, slipping and slithering along over the snow-covered hill. The heart is
Yeah. doing? What did I say?
Quit yelling at her.
I'm not talking to them. What did I ask you to do? Lunch is ready now. I need you to wash your hands.
I'm gonna come back later, still. Hey, it's not about you.
Sorry, I'm having trouble connecting to the internet. It looks like an issue with the router and Echo device, so try restarting them. Unplug both of them, then plug the router back in. Wait 30 seconds. Once the router is back on and connected to the internet, plug in the Echo device.
And turned, he pressed forward steadily. He became aware that the cool draft was growing stronger. Feel the breeze. Joe called back over his shoulder. We must be near the end. Joe has spoken too soon. They'd earned a sharp corner and the tunnel ended in a sheer wall of solid rock. They could go no farther. The boys shone their flashlights upward. There was nothing to see but the rock roof. Joe gave a groan and sank down on the rocky floor of the tunnel. What'll we do now? For a few minutes the brothers sat in silence. Then suddenly Frank leaped to his feet. The draft. He said. What about it? We passed the opening. Frank snapped on his light and started back down the tunnel. Joe scrambled to his feet and followed. As they moved back around the bend again, they could feel the movement of air on their cheeks. The air current seems to flow from somewhere up above, Frank said, aiming his light toward the roof. It does. Joe exclaimed. See that crack? High overhead, well out of reach, was a rocky shelf protruding from the wall. Frank grabbed a handful of dust and tossed it up to the shelf. Some dropped on the edge, but the rest remained in the air, and then slowly drifted away out of sight. That's it, Joe said excitedly. There's something beyond. It must lead to an exit. Frank braced himself against the wall. Up you go, Joe. Quickly, Joe climbed to his brother's shoulders and found he could easily reach the rocky shelf. Joe gripped the edge and pulled himself upward. Then he lay on his stomach and, reaching down, grasped Frank's hand in a fireman's grip. A second later, Frank was seated beside Joe. When the Hardys turned, they found still another tunnel facing them. This one slanted upward from the shelf and was too low-roofed for anyone to walk upright. Aiming their lights ahead, the boys crawled on hands and knees through the cramped area. Presently, a glimmer of daylight showed ahead. Joe was about to exclaim in relief when a murmur of voices suddenly reached the boys' ears. The Hardys knelt motionless and looked at each other. Were members of the gang just outside the tunnel exit waiting for them?
Oh.
Frank put a finger to his lips. Without a word, the boys resumed their crawling, but more slowly and quietly now toward the mouth of the passage. Near the opening they halted. A voice which Frank had just recognized as that of the thin man they had overheard at the cemetery was saying, "Those kids ought to be showing any time now, if the cave-ins don't get out." Then another man, deeper voiced, chuckled, "If it didn't, we'll trap M like rats coming out of the hole." Chapter X, Ambush Trail. A pang of fear